Existence of last week's podcast. I had some really frustrating computer issues, but those are all worked out now, so I'm back and I'm ready to talk, so let's go. So, the shady guy, who is later identified as Vossler, brings Henry Taylor to another shady guy, who is stationed outside of Dubaku's, like, hideout. And Dubaku has left his apartment and is now loose on the street. And while he's on his way to his hideout, he watches this the television broadcast of Allison Taylor explaining the situation. She's saying that everything's all over because we've got Motobo now. We're not giving in to the terrorists. We're going to liberate Singala, and Juma is going away. So that's the situation. Dubaku goes into this grocery store, into this back room, which is like classic terrorist hideout, when there's this basement full of cronies and Henry. Agent Vossler removes gag, and Henry freaks out. Oh, you killed my son. This is all your fault, blah, blah, blah. And Dubaku says, does your wife love you enough to call off the invasion of my country for your sake? I hope the answer is yes. Everyone arrives at the White House, Jack, Bill, Renee, and Motobo, and one of Allison's advisors is explaining, these are the people who saved his life and who also got a hold of the CIP device and smushed it. And one of them is Jack Bauer, and she was like, WTF, he was one of the kidnappers, what's going on? I'm willing to listen to what they have to say, so let's do this. So everyone comes up, and Motobo wants to talk about Singala. He says, none of this is as it seems. They're going to explain what's going on, because I know this is kind of weird. And she wants to know what the heck. So Jack explains, people are working with Juma in your payroll to undermine your foreign policy with Singala. And she is like, well, why didn't you guys come to me with this? And Bill, she knows Bill from, I forget what, from where, but she knows him. And he said, I didn't think you'd believe me. We didn't know who was corrupted. I had to keep this quiet. And Allison was like, well, what about Tony? And Bill said, well, you know, we needed him to handle the CIP device to track down Dubaku. Sorry about that. We know that people died, but we needed that to happen. And Renee comes up and defends them and says, these men have saved thousands of lives. Everything they're saying is true. All they've done has in all saved lives. And so Allison says, well, where would you go from here? And Bill says, Dubaku has all the names of the people who are corrupt in your cabinet, in your circle. There we go, circle. And so we need to keep this whole thing quiet. We can't involve FBI or Homeland, no one. It's just all of us. And in the middle of this meeting, she gets a call from Dubaku about her husband, and he says, I have your husband. And Henry says, don't let them use me against you. And Allison is like so distraught, but she's keeping it together. And Dubaku says, Motobo must be delivered to my men, and you must take your forces out, or I will kill him and send him back to you one piece at a time. And he has a guy cut off his finger. I'm not sure. I think he did it, because apparently he was bleeding profusely and he needed constant monitoring. So, yeah, he cut off his finger. And he also said, I will kill him if you try to find him. So, oh no. So then Ethan, of course, the guy who's so against this invasion of Singala, you know, this is his opportunity to swoop in and say, oh, I don't think anyone would blame you for holding back. This is, you know, so hard. And, oh, and Allison, I was so worried about her because she, I mean, this is a tough situation. I mean, she's been really strong up until now, and then you take this into account, and I was really worried that she was going to back down, but she didn't, because she said, how can I ask the American people to make sacrifices that I'm not willing to make myself? I can't give in. And I was like, yeah, girl, you tell him. It was amazing. I love her so much. I want her to be president sometime in my life. So then Jack comes up and, of course, says, I can find him. You can trust me. And she was like, well, how do I know where your loyalties lie? And he just is like, with all due respect, Madam President, ask around, which I thought was great. And he says, well, right now we need you to go along with Dubaku's demands. You don't really have another choice. Just, yeah, I'll explain what they decided to do later. So then, Secret Service, he goes and starts to look in the Secret Service, the detail, because he knows that obviously someone inside was in on it, and it was Agent Gedge, so he starts with him. So, Renee is like, we should get Larry involved in this, because they need to get their hands on some, like, phone records, and so the only person that they can trust is, like, the biggest theme of this season, it seems like, is Larry. And so Renee calls him, and she's like, I'm alive, but you can't let anyone know. And he was like, oh my gosh, I thought I'd never see you again, and whatever. And she says, I'll explain later, no one else can know. And of course he goes along with it because he loves her. And she tells him to check his phone logs to see what she can get on, or he can get, my bad, on Agent Gedge. And he's like, I need to see you and make sure this is real. And if you want my help, you need to show up. Oh, so cute. Meanwhile, Sean, who is really creepy, and I still don't like him, and he's getting really annoyed that their involvement with all of the day's events hasn't really been acknowledged, and also that there's been stuff going on that they haven't known about, and he's getting really annoyed that they're being kept out of the loop. And of course, this girl who apparently he was sleeping with, cheating on his wife with, came over, and they were talking, and she was like, let's see each other tonight. Woo-hoo. And he was like, well, I have to see my wife because I haven't seen her in a week. Oh, man. And then she is a little put out, and she goes away. And then Janice, cute Janice, she comes over, and she's like, could you be a little less obvious? Hey, world, we're sleeping together. You know, and because, I mean, it is obvious, and, ugh, I don't like Sean at all, if you couldn't tell. So, Jack and Renee go meet Larry. There's so many people to keep track of at the Tranquility Pool. And he's pulled the phone records, and and Gedge spoke to a man named Edward Vossler, who was Special Forces and served in Sangala. Oh, no. And Jack goes right to, does he have any family? And of course they both look really alarmed, and he's like, does he have any family? We need to make him think that we're going to hurt his family, because if, you know, we can get him to talk. And Renee's like, that's over the line. And Jack gets really annoyed, and he's like, when are you going to stop thinking that everyone else is following your rules, because they're not? You need to do what is necessary to get this done. And it's really interesting that we have the polar opposites of Jack, who I think is like the most trustworthy man in this whole thing, but the things that he's willing to do are really alarming. And then we've got Larry, who is kind of he's really by the book, and he wants to do things right and everything, and he's kind of just lame. And it's weird that us as audience wants Jack, like, understands. It just seems like something that's so commonplace. Like, of course you go for the family, because that's what we've been doing for the past 8 seasons, or 7 seasons. That's just what you do. So it's kind of weird that we're in this mindset now. But anyways, of course this starts off an argument between Larry and Renee, because Renee is sort of caught in the middle between the two. She's definitely in the middle of the two guys. I mean, she wants to go by the book, but at the same time, she is realizing that people aren't following the rules. And she sort of went out of her way to not follow the rules when she tortured, what's-his-face in the hospital. So, her development as a character is getting really interesting. Anyway, so everyone agrees to do it. And so they start tracking Bossler through his cell phone, and Jack goes and is going to go track him down, and Renee goes to his family's house to see his wife and kid. And Larry tries to I don't know what he's trying to do, but he tells Jack, you've lost everything you had by doing what you thought was necessary, and Renee is not going to end up like you. And Jack just turns around and he's like, dude, are you going to give me the keys or not? And Larry's like, rules are what make us better. And Jack's like, not today. Dubaku's friend calls, his little girlfriend. I feel really bad for her because it's like, don't you, like, have any idea who you're dating? Like, seriously, is he not? You'd think that he would be on most wanted lists and he would be, his face would be everywhere just because he's Juma's right-hand man and this whole thing in Singal is going down. I don't know. I feel like she's just, I don't know. I would think that you would be able to realize it and... whatever. And she asks, are you still coming to dinner tonight? And he's obviously busy because his plans were thwarted and he's trying to think up new ways to wreak havoc. And he says, no, I'm looking at shipping manifests. And she was like, oh, well, we can do it as late as you want. And I think Marika, something like that, is her name. And he says, I'll make it up to you later. And then her sister comes in and she's smart and she realizes there's something off about this guy, but she doesn't know what it is. She thinks he's an illegal immigrant. And so she asks him, it was him, wasn't it? And Marika says, but I love him. And they get in a fight. And her sister says, why? Because he spends money on you and he pays your rent. You've only known him for 4 months. What if he's not what he says he is? And she has a letter in her lap, but she doesn't really let us know what it is. But sorry, I just totally stuttered. At the moment, we don't know what it is, but obviously it has something to do with Dubaku's identity that she's keeping from her sister, and that's making Marika and is making Marika's sister suspicious. Ethan is trying to figure out what to do back at the White House. Their strategy, they're sort of going along with Motobo's plan. She decides that we're going to pull our troops back, and when the time comes, we'll attack from further away. And as for Motobo, we're not going to hand him over, but we'll use a decoy. Which, I don't know, I didn't think that would be very effective, but we'll see. Then Moss Moss calls Larry, which is the same person. But I really meant Moss calls Jack with Vossler's location. And Renee is at Vossler's house, and his wife comes to the door, and she sticks her up, and she says, shut up and do what I tell you, and there's a chance you live through this. And his wife is like, what kind of a person are you? And Renee was like, well, you should ask your husband. You don't know him as well as you think you do. And she handcuffs her to a chair. And then we get to witness some more crazy Jack attack driving, where he just, like, I love Jack. So he's trying to catch up with Vossler, who is, like, 30 seconds ahead of him, I think. And he ends up on this, Vossler ends up on this one-way street, and Jack's going the opposite direction. But he doesn't care, so he just totally flips onto the one-way street and rams Vossler, which I think is incredible. And he asks him where Henry Taylor is. And he tells him to call his wife, and he's like, oh no, you have my wife. And Renee goes over to the baby, and one of my friends made a comment, which I thought was really funny. He said that when we couldn't see what Renee was doing to the baby, he says that his wife said that she thinks she was changing his diaper, which is kind of funny when you think about the mood, and you don't know what she's doing, and it seems like it's something bad because he's crying, but she could have just been changing the diaper. But that gets her to get Vossler to talk, and you know, she calls her a monster. And Renee, I mean, she's being really strong about it, but you can tell she's having this really internal struggle with this whole thing. And so Jack gets the information that he's hiding in this greengrocer, and they're holding Henry in the basement, the cliche terrorist hideout. And there's a staircase in the back, but it's locked. And this guy comes in when Jack is interrogating Vossler and sort of takes his attention off for a second. So they get in this fight, and Vassar pulls a knife, and Jack ends up fighting him for a while, and then sticks it in him with, sticks the knife in his stomach. Well, technically, he made Vassar stick it in himself, but, so Vassar dies, which kind of sucks, because Renee's, you know, saying, she feels bad already being in this woman's house with her baby, and then her husband dies. So, yeah, that has to suck. And then these people are trying to go steal Jack's car, and he just, like, totally yells the people away from the car, and then he ends up stealing another one anyway, which I thought was really funny. If Jack Bauer were yelling at me the way he yelled at these people, I would pee my pants. I've said this before, but Jack is scary, and if he was not on my side, I would pee my pants a lot. So then, back at the White House, they're getting ready. They're prepping the decoy Motobo, and she says, we want to make it look like we're going to hand over Motobo for as long as it's possible, but as soon as you think that you're in danger, get out. Get out. So, yeah, so that's them. And then Jack, who's going to 12451 Arlington Avenue, which is where the greengrocer was, tells Renee that, gives her that location and tells her that Vassar died and because he attacked me, I didn't have a choice. And he asks Renee if she's okay, and she says, no, I don't think I am. And he does the whole, we couldn't have gotten this far if it wasn't for you. If it's too much to handle, maybe you should get out. And Renee says, maybe I will tomorrow. Then they call the president and tell her about that they have the location on Dubaku and with Henry as well. And says it'll take about 10 to 15 minutes, which is conveniently about as much time as we have left in the episode. And back at the FBI, Sean's still crying about being kept out of the loop, blah, blah, blah. And then Renee calls Larry and tells him to keep Vassar's death quiet because we can't, you know, we have to handle everything outside of the bureau. Don't tell anyone. I can deal with it. Just keep it quiet. Back at the lair, we've got the troops withdrawing. They're telling Dubaco this. The troops are withdrawing, and Motobo is on his way. So it looks like the president is complying with his demands. Rosa, by the way, who's been identified as Narika's sister, has this letter. She calls up Dubaco and tells him that she has a letter. She checked with immigration. He's not there legally. Samuel Aboa is a fake name. Get out of my sister's life. I'm willing to keep her out of the loop, but if you break up with her, I won't tell anything. End it tonight and we won't have a problem. And he's like, okay. And then he hangs up, and of course he's like, I gotta go take care of some business. So he's on his way to go deal with the problem. With the fake Motobo, they've got a visual on all the men. They're sort of in the middle of a standoff. No one's moving. The car's there, but nothing's happening. And then they call Dubaco, and he's like, dang, that's a fake Motobo, so we should destroy their vehicle. And they try to retreat, but I swear that they had a bazooka, and they shot the car with a bazooka. So that was two more deaths, and it was really sad, but that's what happened. And, okay, back at the greengrocer, Jack and Renee go in. Jack takes the clerk and tells him to unlock the door and ask the men if they want something to eat. Do it or I'll blow your head off. And he does. Jack, so they go down the stairs. He totally cold cocks the guy in the face with a gun. So then he goes down the stairs. They see four men. Renee goes down. Phone rings. Dubaku tells them to kill Henry Taylor. Someone sees Renee. Jack kills him. And then there's a shootout, and then all the men are down, and one of them manages to shoot Henry Taylor in the stomach before he goes down, before Jack shoots him, and that is the end of the episode. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really good action. There's so much stuff going on. There's so many plot lines. There were so many plot lines to follow in the beginning, and now they're all sort of coming together. And it's just been really wonderful how it's all been playing out. As for my thoughts, I definitely think that the whole situation with Renee, Jack, and Larry is really interesting. I like that Renee, I mean, I didn't like her in the beginning. I thought she was really annoying. Anyone who doesn't really agree with Jack, I find really annoying. And so I still think Larry's kind of, he's still kind of irritating, even though he's, the only reason, though, that he's going along with Jack is because Renee wants him to, and he's in love with Renee. So really, if Renee wasn't there, Larry would not side with Jack at all. So saying that, he's still irritating. And in the beginning, Renee, she didn't know Jack. I mean, in the beginning, she trusted him. She thought that his judgment was good. I mean, she did things that were off the book before he went off with the terrorist, in quotation marks, with Tony before. And so, I guess, like, she sort of has that rebellious streak in her. But then again, she's caught with Larry. And obviously, I think, I don't know, I have a feeling that Larry and Renee were together at some point. And I feel like she really respects him and wants him to respect her, so she's caught in the middle between these two men, and there's Jack, who's just like this amazing, well, I think he's a patriot, because he's been giving his life and everything he has, like Larry said, he's given everything to America, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like he is. Sometimes it seems like it's not America he's fighting for, but really it is. He's giving himself, all of himself, for this country that is putting him on trial, which I think is ridiculous, but anyways. So, and I think she admires Jack a lot for what he's done, the things that he's done, the things he's put up with. I mean, he took the consequences. He was in China. He, you know, he was exiled. He lost his daughter. I mean, he's put up with a lot of crap, but he still keeps coming back and still keeps wanting to save the people of America, which I think is incredible. And I think Renee sees that too. And it's interesting to see how she's starting to pull away from Larry more and start heading towards Jack's direction. And it was, I think she did a great job in the scene where she was holding Vossler's wife and kid hostage. I think that was a great piece of acting there. She was really having a struggle. She was trying to be cold and really uncaring to the wife, but as soon as she turned her back, she was full of emotion and just so, like, that would be really hard. Even as much as I respect Jack, I don't know if I would be able to do the things that he does, which makes him such an, I can't even describe it, but I definitely really enjoy that relationship. I think, obviously, that Renee and Jack are attracted to each other, but I don't know if she, I mean, because all the people that have come into Jack's life really have gone out of it, even, like, Jack, or not Jack, sorry, even Chloe and Bill and Tony. I mean, Tony died. We thought he was dead, so he lost Tony. He was away from Chloe and Bill, obviously, but, you know, they came back, but he's still separated from them. I mean, everyone that he's called a friend is sort of, you know, he's by himself in the world, really, and I don't know if it would be believable for him to have a relationship, like a real one that didn't end in Renee's death. Although I do think that Renee, it would be more believable as someone who would be suited for Jack, better than, say, like Audrey. I mean, she was in sort of the same area as him, but not nearly as similar as Renee. I mean, she's out in the field, she knows what goes on, and she's seen Jack in action, and I think that she's definitely more suited to him. Whether or not I would like them as a couple, I don't know. The more and more Renee grows, the more we'll see how much I like her. She's definitely thawed my resistance to her a lot. She's still not one of my favorite characters, but I do like her more than I did previously, so that's good for her. We still, I think there are still a lot more people in President Taylor's circle who haven't identified as working with Dubaku. I still think Ethan, I know he seems, I don't know, I feel like on one hand he would be really obvious choice, and, you know, but on the other hand, I just have this feeling about him. He's always looking for every possibility he can to try to dissuade Allison from invading Sangala. every time, every single time that there's an opportunity for him to do that, he wants to do it. I don't know. It just seems kind of suspicious to me. I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, I guess there's reasons why you wouldn't want to go, just because of the CIP device, but the CIP device is gone, so, and he still wants her to not invade Singala. So you have to wonder, you know, why is he so adamant about it? And when President Taylor is so adamant about her view of invasion, I don't know. I think we should keep an eye on him. He seems pretty legit for now, but who knows? We have so many more people. And also, there's people who are corrupted in the Bureau that we don't know about yet, and I think that Sean, I mean, obviously that's an obvious one too, but he's so fidgety and like, creepy. I just don't like him. He might not be involved in this whole thing, but I just think he's creepy, and he's whiny, and he's a butthole, and he makes me want to cry. I think that, I don't know, I'm trying to think of all the people who could be involved in this whole thing that are from the Bureau. I don't think Larry is. Not at all. But it could be Janice as well, because that would be unexpected, and... But I think that would suck if Janice were involved, because I think she came into her own last week when she was helping the guys at the plant get out. She really sort of came into her own and had moments of unfidgetiness, and she's sort of come out of that now, which is really nice, because in the beginning of the season she was really fidgety and really awkward and really uncomfortable to watch, but now she's sort of getting into it and is really doing great things for everyone, and I don't know, I don't think she is, I don't think it's her. Maybe it could be Sean's little mistress too. I think it's her. I'm gonna put bets on her, because she's, I don't like her. Anyone who is cheating on their wife, or anyone who has, you know, is having an affair with a married man, anyone like that, you know, is a devil in my book. So I think she's involved. We're gonna put her in there, because I think last season we've had sort of like where someone lets someone who is involved get into their life and sort of worm their way into their life and use them as a tool. So maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. She seems kind of loose. It's so mean for me to say, but she does. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sean wasn't the only person that she was seeing. Maybe it could be someone in the Dubaku circle. Who knows? I'm going to forego the lists section today. Because I haven't been keeping track of, like, best line, worst line. I love the things that Jack says every episode, when Jack just has, like, a one-liner, when someone questions his loyalties or questions, you know, what he does, he just turns around and is like, well, I'm just awesome. And I love it when he does that, because it makes me feel vindicated for everything that Jack's been put through, because I feel like, you know, it's me. I hate it when Jack is persecuted for, you know, him being on trial makes me angry. And so whenever he can just like turn around and be like, you know what, screw you, it makes me happy. So I always love it when Jack has those one-liners. Who I'd most like to punch in the face? I really like that one. That one's my favorite of all my list ones, so I'm gonna go with that one today. I think Dubaku, obviously. I think that he, not only is he a terrorist who killed 300 people plus, 300 plus people, but he's also, like, this poor girl, I don't know why, I wonder what he's using her for. He has to be using her for something, because why would he risk, you know, his identity being discovered with, I don't know, I just feel like there's something going on with that relationship, and that makes him a douche for just jerking this poor, nice girl around. I don't know. I wonder what she has that is worth him, like, being involved with her for. There has to be something. And I wonder what it is. And I hope that he doesn't kill her sister, because she's smart. I feel like Narika is not smart. and her sister is, so she shouldn't. He shouldn't kill her sister, because that would be mean. Speaking of deaths, Henry Taylor, I still don't think he's gonna die. He can't die. You cannot kill him. He's not gonna die. But you sort of left his fate unknown. But I think in this episode, or I think that if you looked closely, the position where he was shot, I mean, there's a good chance that he's gonna be okay. And I mean, there's no way that he's gonna die. Which reminds me, last season we never really figured out how Wayne Palmer recovered, or if he recovered from the assassination attempt. And also, is President Logan dead? Because I don't know, and that's been bugging me for like a year or more. Those are the two ones I want to know about. But anyway, that just sort of brought it up because Logan was stabbed in the stomach, and we don't know if Wayne Palmer, what happened to him either. So I wonder what's going on with that. But anyways, so yeah, Henry Taylor, he's not going to die. He's not going to become one of the casualties. I just know it. I like him too much. I mean, he is kind of a sissy. He just kind of has a sissy look, but you know, when he needs to, he can be brave. And I really like that when they put Allison on the phone, he told her, don't let them use me against you. Just don't. So that was nice. He's a good husband, I think. He's a very loving husband. They love each other, and I really hope that they get reunited soon, because poor Allison, she's just having to deal with so much crap, and I just love her. She's fast becoming one of my favorite characters in the whole series, so good for her, and I just hope she keeps on being strong, sister. Keep on keeping on, because I love you, and I just want you to be successful and happy. So yeah. Well, that about does it for me and this edition of Bower Power Hour. Thank you again for your patience with me. I know I've been really, it must be really annoying having to wait, and I'm sorry. But again, thank you guys so much and for all your support that I've been getting. And I love hearing from you. I've been hearing from a select group of people very frequently, and I really enjoy it. So if you want to become one of those people who gets to talk to me and makes me feel good and who I like to chat with, then become my friend on Facebook. Just search Bower Power Hour. You'll find a picture of me with the 24 logo in the corner. Become my friend and we can chat. Also, you can email me at bowerpowerhour@podomatic.com. And you can also view my show notes, which I haven't updated in a long time. My bad. I'm just so busy. I'm a full-time college student, and I've been really busy. And hopefully, maybe someday I'll get those written up. But at least the first couple hours of the season are up. If you want to look at them, you can. It's bowerpowerhour24.blogspot.com. And you can also check out my show page, which is bowerpowerhour.podomatic.com. So that about does it for me, and of course, don't forget to tune in on Monday for another gripping and thrilling hour of 24 and see what happens. Bye!